welcome to the Daily Reprieve, where we provide SA speaker meetings, workshops, and conferences in podcast format. We are an ad-free podcast. If you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and drop a dollar or two into the virtual basket. Please consider donating monthly by clicking the Donate Monthly button. However, one-time donations are always welcome. Just click the Donate Now button. Now, without further ado, this episode of The Daily Reprieve.
Yeah, hi again. I'm happy to see also some Germans. Give me perhaps feedback after that, if I will really be understood. Yeah. English is perhaps better now than half a year ago. I'm rock bottom, yeah? I mean, I came here from Al-Anon. I'm now 19 years in the program in Germany. That is a special. I had lots to do to find a sponsor. But it's a long way alone in this program. But before the program, when I was very little, I had lots of breakups with my mother and father. They divorced when I was 2. I came in an orphan's home. I had lots of trauma, little trauma to say. I was not nourished really. I had not a real relationship, lots of relationships when I was very baby. But that is not perhaps the reason to be a sexaholic, but it's a total work of art, my upbringing. You know, the reasons why I'm like I am, of course. But my lust I had when I was already 5-6 years old. I was fantasizing about fairy tales. I can remember with Hänsel and Gretel in the woods. That was not sexual, but then I discovered masturbation with 5-6 years. My grandmother said, don't do it. You will have a small stomach when you do it. And so I said, all right, she don't want to see it. I do it secretly. And then I had also the first encounter with a man who was peeing in our backyard. And I was aroused. I always had this picture again. And then came more and more of childish things, but it comes with lust. I was peeping already in other sleeping rooms, or I was playing with things in my whatever. It's all around lust. Some things. No, of course. Then I came in an internat, in a boarding school with lots of men, boys, and my mother treated me when she was. We had holiday always together. I was never really with my mother, but in holidays. And she said, oh, come, you have to make your hair blonde. And, you know, like me, we are sexy and you are my sister. You know, you are not my daughter. And so I got the image being, I was looking like a prostitute really with 12. And I had some man who was inviting me in their bedrooms, but I never did. I was somehow protected by my alcoholic father, who was selling whiskey in the bars, and I saw already the prostitutes and their protectors. I have no idea what, and so I knew already this kind of world, but I was too scared and perhaps too moralized by my mother, and also had drugs. And so I did not do this. I was more inwardly masturbating more and more. And I had my little, you know, lust needs more and more. And I was looking at the 8-track pornography for my father. He was giving me a hint that there was a little hole because a neighbor was pulling a hole in the thing when he's doing make it dark in his sitting room. And then I was looking at it with 14, and I was absolutely, it was like cocaine for me to see the intercourse the first time on this 8-track films. That was the first, it was the industry, you know, just came with me. I mean, my puberty. And so I'd see it in Germany. It's the Danish people brought us to us. Yeah, whatever. I was very unhappy And I said, with 17 already, I hit bottom. I had an LSD trip, also a horror trip in a way. I wanted to kill myself. And I said, Papa, I need a therapy. I need the money from my grandmother. And if you don't will give it to me, I will destroy your Mustang. And he gives it to me. Yeah? And then, okay, I did a whole lot already to heal myself. I wanted to heal with therapy. It's not working because I had to feel something, but I could not feel really. I know it now because I was acting out. That's so my therapist, after 13 years of giving him money, he said, there's no hope in the moment, you have to go now. I'm fed up with you. So I went and it was hard. Okay, but finally, 10 years later, you know, I was struggling through the university and always had some protecting angels with me, but still I had problems connecting with people. I was very alone and I was eating, acting out and sleeping and eating, acting out, sleep, and not doing really, I had no idea what to do in the world. And then person said, oh, come on, have you an alcoholic background? He was my fellow in working place. I said, yes, but who bothered, you know? And then he said, oh, they are groups. And in that time, I was with a person who was a bit of a nice relationship, you know? I said, oh, yes, he can marry me. He will rescue me. He gave me a child already, 42 years. He will be the one. And he was fed up with me after a year. And I think also he was a romantic person, you know? And I said, come on, we will rescue our relationship. We go to the 12th step. But in Germany, there were only 60 elderly women who you were talking. And he was fed. He don't want to be there, you know. But I said, okay, that's in a way nice to see the people and to talk with deeper stuff. And I will stay with this. And so I did. But then begins my a bit working through this fellowship and doing not the program, really doing not working, talking and being together, but not really doing the program. And that was hard for me, but I was not giving up, you know. And finally I broke up with this my rescuer, and I was so in rage. And then I lived at that time in a little cabin rolling car in the middle of sheep. And then I saw this male sheep, and I was lusting after this male sheep. And I said, that's enough, you know, that's enough. And at that time, God gave me some hints that there is a sexual program. I came to a room where there should be Coda, and one man was saying, I'm John, I'm a sexaholic. I said, what? You know, I'm so happy that a woman is with me, you know. But then, but somehow I asked my fellows in Al-Anon, and there was one and said, yeah, yeah, there is such a group, yeah, yeah. And I said, okay, he knows more. And finally I told him, and he gave me a connection to a sexaholic. Then I will say, I was not happy in the program, and I wanted to be happy. You know, that was some. I was still scratching. Like I was 17, I tried. Where is help? Where is help? You know, and that finally is. My rock bottom was when I split up with this Dietka, because that was the illusion that I got a marriage and still a wonderful, happy end with a man. It sucks, and then God says, now you are prepared for SA, finally. And then still I had in this program, and I came in the door, my first meeting. Hello, four Al-Anons men. So I was in a familiar situation, alone with men 6 years after that. And I and another one was sober, so not more. But I was trying to get sober through telephone meetings with US, 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the evening, 3 years in a row. Boom, you know, I was, yeah, because I felt also so happy that I finally had people to talk, you know. I was so isolated, I was so alone in myself, and that was also feeding me. And But then I got curious going to America, and then I had 2011 my first convention, international convention, and before I made my first inventory step in the convention because I wanted to have some women around me and also some witness for my fellow travelers in Constance, Lake of Constance, where I were 9 years in my home meeting. And then now I'm in Munich. I'm happy there. It's going on. I have some always little, but you know, today in the morning, I had a real breaking out because I don't like to get old, you know, and there are signs but that's the next, you know, frontier. Oh, I still have so much time. What can I tell you now? I can say that I needed, I needed 1 year and some months to get sober. That's not the rule. You know, you can go in the meeting and be sober at the spot or not act out anymore. But I was learning in this 1.5 year that I'm a real sexaholic because I couldn't stop. I tried before to stop and couldn't. But then I tried again and I just surrendered this sobriety definition. I said, okay, I have no friend in the moment. It's a bit hard, marrying or not. If that is moral or not, I want to be stopped, you know, and I could say it now. And I was very desperate when I had 3 months already sober, and then I act out again. But then I know how it functions in my head, you know, that I cannot entertain any lust. And I had always to call, to pray, to call someone, to go to any length with this first step inventory, to say with my sponsor, she was going over this. Is it okay? It's not too much for my public. It's just the right thing, the truth. And then I said, God, please help me. And then that the magic happened, that I don't need it to act out, but I had to protect it on a daily basis. And I know this program is really enough in itself and for, yeah, it's enough. But of course, now I discover a lot more, but I discover what I can do outside of the program. The program is my life, but not only. That would be not enough for me. I have a spiritual group where I'm working in. Of course, my normal people, neighbors, and other fellowship people. But that is for me essential, that I have buddies around me and working the steps together. Yeah. Yeah, that's enough, I think. Oh, I have no idea. We have more time for questions. I know you can ask, you can share. Thank you very much.
I would like to thank you for listening to this episode of The Daily Reprieve, the best source for experience, strength, and hope for SA members. Please subscribe to this podcast to be alerted of new episodes. Please show your support by donating to The Daily Reprieve by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and choosing either monthly donations or a one-time donation by clicking Donate Now. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Daily Reprieve.